we are. We're in Hebrews 11. Finally, did you think you'd ever get there? This is your reward for pressing in and pressing on and working through and doing those lessons in the middle chapters there. Although it's all God's word, it's all important, but the repetition sometimes got to be a little tedious, I think. I mean, for most all of us, I believe. So, but you made it through, and now we're in the practical section on Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, in chapters 11. And we're just going to cover four verses tonight. So I'm going to read those first four verses in the NIV, and then we're going to pray. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous, which God spoke well when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark, to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for faith. We thank you for giving us faith. Lord, we thank you for these examples of faith from the earliest scriptures in Genesis. Lord, we thank you for raising up these men. Lord, we thank you that we can look at them tonight and learn from them. Father, we ask that now by your Spirit you would speak to our hearts individually. You know what we need. You know how important faith is in our walk with you. God, we thank you for the power of your word, for the inspiration of your word. We thank you for its practical application as well. So focus our minds and our hearts by the power of your Spirit and illumine your word, giving us understanding by your Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Well, as you probably noticed, eight times in just four verses, the word faith and even the phrase by faith was repeated again and again. We see that faith is an absolute essential. Faith is a must. It says he must believe. It is absolutely necessary. Our walk with God begins with faith. It works its way through our lives, and even in the end, we are saved and we will be rewarded by faith. So both the Old and the New Testament are filled with illustrations and examples and the importance of faith. And it's not just faith. Someone pointed out that it's not faith in just anything. Believing faith, it's the object of our faith that makes the difference. That's what's essential. It's only through Jesus Christ and faith in him that we are saved. The object of our faith has to be, believing faith, that is, has to be in Jesus Christ. Again, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And whenever I think of the word pleasing, about pleasing God, pleasing him, I always think of Kay Smith, and I'm sure many of you do as well. We had the blessing of hearing her in those dynamic, timeless messages on pleasing him. And by the way, those messages, you can find them on the Blue Letter Bible, and you can also find them if you have never heard them from the Word for Today. So get a hold of them if you can. The chapel store may even still have them. But those are incredible, timeless messages on pleasing God. Personal application is fabulous. So We must believe. You and I today must believe. Warren Wiersbe says, faith is believing. Faith is confident obedience to God's word despite the circumstances and consequences. And we're going to take a look at that tonight through these examples. He goes on to say, God speaks and we hear his word. We trust his word and we act on his word, no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. Faith is very practical. David Jeremiah says it like this. Not only does faith bring insight and confidence that are otherwise unavailable, the believer must have it even to please God. It actively seeks God and his will and looks to the future boldly, believing that God will reward his faithful people. So let me give you a couple of other basic important truths about faith. Real faith acts. Again and again in the book of James in the New Testament, this is the theme again and again. Faith is proved by action. David Jeremiah said again, faith is not just passive belief that God exists, although that is essential. It also actively seeks him and his will. Faith first influences our mind, then our affections or our heart, and then it involves or encompasses the will. So the mind, the heart, and the will are all involved in true faith. And so the will, obviously, is revealed through our actions and following the word. Actions provide the evidence of faith, again, as James reiterates in the scriptures. So now let's look at the three human examples of faith from verses 4 through 7. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. When I was studying this, I felt that there's also, perhaps, I didn't read this anywhere, but I was thinking, perhaps there's a progression of faith in these three examples. So let's think about that. Just approach it with you, if you will, with me in that. Through this hall of faith, I'm not saying that all the way through this is the case, but it seems to be the foundation of these three individuals can be seen. First, Abel did things God's way. Some expositors say Abel's sacrifice was made by faith in response to God's required sacrifice, that is, an animal or a blood sacrifice. Whereas Cain's gift or sacrifice was not by faith, but rather Cain tried to gain God's approval by offering the fruit of his own works, that is, self-righteousness. Verse 4 reveals that Abel was saved, approved, and made righteous by faith. Here it is in the Amplified. In parentheses, it says, prompted and actuated, that is, by faith, Abel brought a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous. Abel obtained righteousness by faith in what God had required. That is an animal blood sacrifice. So let's go back and let me take you through how I see this. Because we know that to be born again takes faith in Jesus Christ. So our faith begins, salvation begins, rather, our faith. So we start with salvation by faith in the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Jesus is the only acceptable and pleasing sacrifice in God's plan of salvation. Isn't that true, based on the scripture? Acts 4:12 says this, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then again in John 14:6, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man, no woman can come to the Father except through me. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So faith is what activates our salvation initially. We begin with the salvation through faith in Christ's sacrifice. Now, when we move on then and think about Enoch, it reminds me that the scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. So our salvation begins with faith, it continues by faith, and it ends with faith. Faith in God and what he's done, not what we have done, but it's also in his power at work in us. Enoch's example of faith was that he walked with God in fellowship and in communion, thus pleasing God. And Enoch's testimony reminds me as a believer that Jesus wants me to have a relationship with him. He wants me to walk with him. He wants me to talk with him. He wants me to get more and more acquainted with him as I spend time with him. The scripture tells us if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Is Jesus your companion? Do you walk with him? I hope so. And if you know him, to know him is to love him, and to know him is to want to spend time with him, to get to know him better and better, to listen to him, through his written word, to receive from him, and again, to learn of him and from him. So, Jesus desires for us to walk with him, to get more and more acquainted with him as we walk. And as we do that, we please him. And all of that is done by faith, correct? So let Jesus be your BFF, your very best friend, your forever friend. That's my exhortation to myself and to you. We put our faith in Jesus, and we walk by faith with Jesus. Now for Enoch, when he walked with God, it was through a long season of rebellion and unbelief in the world in which he lived. And he walked with God a very long time. And eventually, God just simply took Enoch home to him. Someone said he was closer to God's home than he was his own, so God just took him without experiencing death. How great that is. This also presents to us a type or a picture of the rapture of the church, and I'm sure you're aware of that, and it's spoken about in 2 Thessalonians and in other places in Scripture. But for you and for me, by faith, one step at a time, we want to walk with Jesus until you and I see him face to face. What better companion, what better occupation than to continue on our journey as we walk with Jesus? I was reading a quote from George Whitefield's message on walking with God, which I found on the Blue Letter Bible. I just want to share this one excerpt as he talked about and tried to explain in his own vernacular years ago what walking with God means. He says, walking with God implies our making progress or advance in the divine life. Walking, in its very first idea of the word, seems to imply a progressive motion. A person that walks, though he may be moving slowly, yet he is moving forward. And he does not continue in one place. He is moving. He's making progress. So it is with those who walk with God. They go on, as the psalmist says, from strength to strength. I love that scripture. Or in the language, he says, of the Apostle Paul, they pass from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5, 9a from the NIV says, so make it our goal to please God. We walk by faith, not by sight, was two verses ahead of that one, verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 5. Someone said, pleasing God is a byproduct of walking with God. I like that. And then continuing to earnestly seek the Lord. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him or earnestly seek him. That last phrase, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, I noticed that after I looked at 2 Corinthians 5:9, which says, so make it our goal to please him. We walk by faith, not by sight. Interestingly, the very next thing that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, reads, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And, of course, that is the Bema seat of Christ, which is a whole other study, but where the believers will be rewarded for as faithful servants. Okay, so we've had Abel, who represents the beginning of our faith, the beginning of salvation. Without faith, we cannot be born again. Faith in the cross and Jesus' resurrection. Then we move along in our progress to begin to walk with Jesus as Enoch walked with Jesus. And then what about Noah? Well, it seems to me that Noah's example is indicative of another progression of faith. That is, he inspires me to obey what God has instructed me to do. Obedience follows faith. Obedience follows naturally. As we walk with the Lord, we want to please him. We want to obey. We want to follow his instructions. And isn't that what Noah did? Noah believed God. Faithfully, willingly, unwaveringly, he built a big boat. In spite of the consequences, in spite of the fact that it had never rained, Noah believed God's word that there was going to be a flood, and the only way to be saved was to build this boat and bring his family into the ark. So then Noah did his part. He built the boat. He obeyed what God instructed him to do. In fact, very detailed instructions. In spite of the consequences, the time, the energy, and most likely the ridicule and being understood by most everyone on the earth, he did not give up or cave in to outside forces. So by faith, Noah finished the assignment, the project that God had given him to do. It took him years and years, and while he was doing it, he was waiting on God to fulfill his promise. And that's what you and I do, don't we? We obey what we understand in the word. We obey what God has called you and I to do. And we each have a part. We each have gifts. God has called us to do specific things. Now we need to walk with him and learn of him and ask him and listen to him as his instruction to us. We know he wants us to use the spiritual gift he's given us. So let's do it. Let's obey while we wait for the fulfillment of God's promise to us. So Noah listened carefully to God. We don't know exactly how God spoke to Noah, whether it was by dream or divine revelation or even audibly. We don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us. But however God spoke to him, Noah simply believed. Noah followed what God said. David Jeremiah said this about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's Genesis 6, 8. So he points out and underscores God's grace, not Noah's righteousness, saved him. Noah demonstrated faith by not allowing the world's corruption and opposition to carry him away. And so boldly, he proclaimed God's righteousness. And God calls people to do the same today. So Noah's a good example to you and me. No matter how long it takes, how long or short our days may be, follow Jesus' directions. Wait on him and keep serving him. As you remember, again, we walk by faith, not by sight. Real faith acts in obedience in response to what God has said in his word to you and to me. For those who come to God must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What that says to you and to me is we need to expect from God. Belief is, in a similar way, is expectation. What God says he's going to do, he's going to do. We need to expect from God. And when you pray, believing God is going to do what you expect him to do according to his word and according to his promise. So the application for me and for you is that we progress in faith by faithfully continue to take in God's word, spending time with him, again, believing everything he said, and as we learn more and more about him and what he wants for our lives, we will be personally pleasing him. Noah must have been a carpenter, right? That must have been God's gift to him. A hard and determined worker who remained steadfast to God's calling and obedience. So what has God called you to do? What has he gifted you to do by the power of his spirit? One thing for sure, he tells each one of us that we need to share Jesus' message of love and salvation with others. We are to be his witness. Noah had to have warned the people what God said he was going to do, that he was going to destroy the world with a flood. And yet God wanted to save more people than Noah and his family. It ended up they were the only ones who believed what God had said he would do. But Noah must have warned them. Noah must have told them to come into the ark and be saved. Today, again, God has called you and me to live for Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, that we become more and more like Jesus as we walk with him, to love others and serve them. He's called us to pray. I don't know whatever your other spiritual gifts are, but he's called each of us to pray. So we're called to pray. We're called to give. We're called to love others and meet their needs as best we can to those around us, our family, our neighbors, our friends, and those in the body of Christ. The challenge is, no matter how long it takes, how long or short your lifespan is and mine, we should first live by faith with the foundation of Jesus Christ, the salvation through the blood and the cross of Jesus. Second, to walk in fellowship and communion in that personal relationship with Jesus, like Enoch, by faith. Thirdly, to follow Jesus by faith, listening to his direction and obeying what he's told us to do, what he's called us to do, while we wait for his fulfillment of the promises. We want to be like Abel with the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We want to walk in fellowship like Enoch, and we want to, in faith, be like Noah. Remember, faith acts in response to God's word. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he exists, or that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'd encourage you to memorize that sixth verse. Think about it. Abel, Enoch, and Noah are alive right now. They are in heaven with Jesus. They were faithful servants. And now, guess what? They're receiving the reward that Jesus, that our God, promises to those with faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have provided salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he is alive, that he is raised from the dead, that we are justified by faith in him, that we're saved by faith in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to and you desire to walk with us, to have that intimate relationship and companionship with you. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray that tonight you will stir our hearts to walk with you, to please you, as we become more and more acquainted with you and as we become more and more obedient to what you've called us to do. Thank you for these examples, Lord. And we thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight, and we expect from you that reward of our obedience by faith, again, in all you've done and all you have promised to do, as we await our time in heaven with you. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.